This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let's go out to our SDCCU fan hotline. Joining us from the Padres blog, Gwintelligence, where he's known as the Chamner. And now that we've had a little debate about what his actual last name, I know his first name's Chad.
Yes, Chad.
Chamner is kind of his online nickname. He joins us here on Ben and Woods. Chad, whatever your name is, welcome.
Thank you, guys. How are you doing this morning?
Good. We're doing great.
What is your last name?
Hamner. It's close to Hammer, and that's why, you know, we could have named this segment Hammer Time, but
Hamner.
Unfortunately, that was already stolen.
It's like your email name, C. Hamner.
Yeah.
Chamner.
Hamner Time is got a nice ring to it. Hamner
got it.
Time.
Now I understand. Okay, that's good to know.
All right, it's Hamner Time. Let's go.
Hammer Time.
Yeah. So I don't know if you heard what I was just kind of saying. I really feel like this is a communication issue more than it is a philosophy of what makes a good baseball player between the old school and the new school. This is simply a communication issue where if we all kind of understood what analytics were and how they could be used, I don't know that there's anyone that would dismiss them the way that some baseball fans do. Do you understand kind of what I'm saying, where I'm coming from?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think you're totally correct. You know, when people are introduced to new things, especially things that are complicated numbers that don't get explained well to them the first time, it's understandably pretty scary. And, when it tells you something different from the game you've known and loved your entire life, it makes sense that people are going to push back. But like you said, I mean, when it comes down to it, what we're really discussing here is new information, trying to think about the game a smarter way, because we've learned so much about what makes a good baseball player within the last 10 years especially, but 20, 30 years as well. And so advanced analytics, not even advanced analytics, but choosing the right stats, looking at the right numbers, is really important in today's game. And, it's something everyone can understand, definitely.
Absolutely. And I'm definitely, grew up playing the game, still play the game, been playing the game for 35 years. It's been hard for me, admittedly, to wrap my head around certain things. I can understand why pitchers' wins don't matter. I understand that. Domingo Germán is 16-2. Do I think he's the best pitcher in the big leagues? No, I don't. He's on a pretty good team, and he's gone five innings a lot and left with a lead, and they have a lockdown bullpen. I understand that. I'm not a moron. But I look at a guy like Eric Hosmer, and I watch, defensively, I get it. He has not been what we thought he was. Offensively, it's still really hard for me to wrap my mind, Chad, as somebody that's played the game my whole life, why RBI are no longer important, because I know how hard it is to drive in runs. It's not an easy thing to do. I also know that it's very dependent on the team around you. I understand that. That's the stat for me that it makes me beat my head against the wall. Like, if you look at a guy at the end, the guy's got 130 RBIs. A lot of stab you like, who cares? To me, I'm like, that's a huge, huge producer.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said yourself, it really depends on the team you have around you. You know, Tatis Jr. batting leadoff, over a full season, he would hit 40 home runs. But if he was batting third and hit 40 home runs, he would have, like, at least double the RBIs he would otherwise.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
RBIs, it really depends on where you're situated in the lineup, how good your team is in front of you getting on base. And don't get me wrong, so when people dismiss stats like RBIs or batting average, it's not because they don't mean anything. It's just because when we're trying to talk about what is a good player, how much is a player contributing at the plate, how good of a hitter they are, there are much better statistics to actually look at.
Like what, for example?
Well, so with batting average, the issue with batting average isn't with batting average. It's just how we use it. It's how we think of it. You know, to talk about what makes a good hitter, we don't even have to get into advanced analytics. OPS is a great place to start.
Yeah.
On-base percentage plus slugging. Because, I mean, when we think about it, what goes into making a good hitter? What are the challenges of hitting? It's certainly getting hits, and batting average plays obviously a big part in determining if you're a good hitter or not. But we know there's so much more that goes into hitting than just slapping the ball into opposite field. Getting on base and hitting for power is incredibly valuable. And players sacrifice making contact for big power and getting on base because they know that those other outcomes are more valuable than if they just tried to get the highest batting average possible.
We all know that like 300 is a milestone for batting average. Hey, that guy's a 300 hitter. What is the number for OPS? I think when people see it now, they even put it up on the big board at Petco Park. You see that number. But what's really good? What's okay? What's below average? What I kind of need a frame of reference so
yeah,
I can look up there and say, hey, oh, yeah, that guy's killing it. That OPS is at 850 right now. But or is that good or is that bad? Where do you kind of define your levels of player based on OPS?
Yeah, so for me, I believe the way people go about it is generally 800 is around average, and each player's OPS isn't the same as each other's because some hit more home runs, some walk more, etc. But around 800 is kind of like, you know, for me, I think that if your lineup doesn't have all players above or at least near an 800 OPS, you're probably not going to be a championship team.
Yeah, I've been told that if you're over 800, you're doing just fine. And if you're getting up into the 900 range, you're an all-star. And if you're over 1,000, then you're probably in the MVP conversation.
Yep, definitely.
Interesting.
Yeah, Mike Trout, I mean, he's been like having an average career OPS of over 1,000 each year. It's ludicrous. And that's why he's the best player in this generation.
You know, and it's so interesting. And I found myself getting a little bit more and more into it at the beginning of the year when I was watching every Franmil Reyes at bat. And I'm watching this guy hit absolute seeds all over the park, and they're being caught. He's not finding holes, which is just extremely, extremely unlucky. He was one of the more unlucky players at the beginning of the season. Now, but that's tapered off for him. He's not doing that anymore. So
yeah.
Is that a cautionary tale to define what makes a good hitter or not? Like, I got a buddy that is an agent, and he always tells me there's a grading system in one organization, and a guy could go 4-for-4 with, you know, 4 duck farts or Texas leaguers, 4-for-4. You got 4 hits, 4 ABs. Nice day at the yard. He'll get a negative grade as opposed to the guy that, you know, hit 4 seeds and got 4 outs, which to me, as a guy that plays, that makes me lose my mind. I'm like, give me the guy that goes 4-for-4 every day. I understand some days you're going to barrel some days you aren't. But like, is that Franmil Reyes situation, is that a cautionary tale?
I would say not necessarily. Now, at the beginning of the season, when people are talking about a player who's been extremely unlucky, like you said, he's been hitting it hard, but it's been getting right at the glove. That's why exit velocity is such a big thing in today's game. It's because, I mean, most of us are just saying that, you know, players, what they're trying to do really is just smash the crap out of a ball. These players, they don't really have the bat control. Not everyone is Tony Gwynn. You know, you can't control where you're going to hit the ball. You can't, you know, put it perfectly in the 5.5 hole or anything. So they're just trying to hit it hard. And if you hit it hard, good things are going to happen eventually. Sometimes you'll get unlucky. And Franmil Reyes definitely got unlucky at the beginning of the season. But what happened is that he's just not hitting as many balls as hard anymore. What happened to his approach? Not really clear. He seemed to be like slipping into some bad habits. But you're right. He was definitely getting pretty unlucky at the beginning of the season. And if he was still hitting like that, his batting average would be much higher than it is. He would be a much more valuable player than he has been throughout the season so far. But he hasn't been hitting like he was at the beginning of the season anymore.
Talking baseball analytics with Chad Hamner from Gwintelligence here on Ben and Woods. So let's the big elephant in the room, WAR. And I certainly acknowledge that I think it's probably a really good metric, but I'll tell you what, I still don't have any idea how it's computed. I know it's a counting stat rather than like an average stat that you actually like collect WAR like RBI over the season, like 0.1 here, 0.1 there, and eventually at the end of the year, if you're up above 4 or 5, I mean, you're a really good player. But how does that work, Chad? Explain it to us.
Yeah, so we could talk about WAR for hours and probably not exhaust everything there is to speak about it, but the best place to start with WAR is just with its name. It stands for wins above replacement. And what does replacement mean? Well, it's just basically this hypothetical construction of a quote-unquote replacement level player. a quad A guy that you'll be able to find, very easily. If, let's say, your starting left fielder gets injured, you can just call him up from AAA or find him on some other farm's team and just call him immediately. That level of production is replacement level production.
Okay. Joe Blow. That's Joe Blow.
Ty France.
He's a 0.0. He's Joe Blow.
Yes, exactly. Ty France could hopefully be a bit more than replacement level.
But being where he is now, like, he is that example of the guy that's come up recently, and that's who you kind of – is that right? Like, you would base – he would be a quad A guy. Like, he's the guy who's batting 400 down in the minors, and he comes up, and so now he's the second baseman. So his numbers, it's just the whole thing. I hate math. I hate it. And I love baseball. And now you're asking me to combine something I love with something I hate. It's very hard for me.
So, I mean, yeah, right. Ty France is the prototypical player right now. He has some prospect pedigree, so it doesn't exactly line up. But, yeah, you're right. And so what WAR does is it's backwards looking. It looks at the production the player has made throughout the season and says, all right, well, look, we can through, like, statistical averages say this is what a hypothetical replacement level player would contribute to a team. This is how much value they would contribute. Whatever you do above that is your WAR. Whatever you do below that is negative WAR at that point. And so one WAR means that player has contributed one extra win to the team versus a quad A player that you can just call up at any other time.
Okay.
So if you had an entire team of quad A players, how many games are you going to win, Woods? Like 60 or something?
I don't know.
So, right? Well,
I can try to Google this as we speak. Well, my computer's not responding, but that is actually a very important metric. What is a team full of replacement level players win? I believe, I want to say it's around 50 games, something like 47.
All right, so around 50. So that means if you can find another 40 WAR out of your entire roster, that's another 40 wins from the 50 baseline. That gets you maybe to the playoffs.
Yeah,
90 wins. So you need to put together a roster that's worth about 40 WAR over the 25 players that you've got, right, Chad? That then gets you to the postseason.
Yep. Yep, exactly. Exactly. And that's why, when we're talking about MVP type of players, Mike Trout produces 8 WAR in a season. That makes it a lot easier to get you to 90 wins than if you have 2 players worth 4.5 or 4 WAR each.
That makes sense.
But without any help, he only gets the Angels to about 58 wins. So they're not going to the playoffs without a bunch of other guys.
That makes total
help
okay.
as well.
Okay, that actually clicks a little bit
that's
in my mind. Here's an interesting one. Someone tweeted in about Tony Gwynn, something about his OPS being about 874. Does that mean he was an average hitter? How do you respond to that?
So Tony Gwynn is just an entirely different conversation entirely. He is the kind of player where you need to say, batting average is probably the best stat to use for him because he's the best pure hitter in baseball history. Those kinds of players just don't really exist anymore. But he's the kind of guy that will be like, I'm not going to sell out for power.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take walks. I'm just going to try to slap it the opposite way, get it through the 5.5 hole, and get on base. That's
okay.
The kind of player he was. And so, really, what advanced analytics is all about is just knowing more, trying to add a little nuance into your thinking about baseball, and using the right stats to describe the right players.
So, Chad, let's talk a little pitching here. I want to keep this going. We'll get to real or fake. We'll just push it back into our 7 o'clock hour here because I'm fascinated by this. We've talked a lot about hitting. What pitching stats? Obviously, wins, losses. I mean, ERA.
Don't matter. They don't matter.
ERA is the one we've looked at, but even that can sometimes be misleading, from what I understand. What pitching statistics do you look at, and what numbers are you looking for when you're trying to determine who's doing well?
Yeah, so, like you said, wins and losses don't really mean much. There's too much that goes into that otherwise. ERA, like you hinted yourself, that can get, first off, that's based upon the score determining what's an error or not, which is certainly not perfect.
Right.
And doesn't make any other adjustments for the kinds of batters you're facing. If you're in the AL or NL, if you have a really good defense or a really bad one, maybe they don't have as many errors, but they're not even getting close to the balls in the first place. So ERA is better, but it's certainly not perfect. What I look at when I look at pitchers is, there's a couple different ways. I don't think there's one perfect way to look at a pitcher's performance, but the important things are certainly K through 9.
Yep.
So the amount of strikeouts they get through 9. On the inverse of that, of course, how many walks they issue over 9. Whiff is really good. You know, if you're at about a 1 whiff, which is walks plus pitch over innings pitch, funnest stat to say out loud, you're doing really good for yourself. That means you're only allowing about 1 base runner an inning. You're not going to get many runs scored off you when you do that. You know, A.J. Cassavell makes a pretty interesting argument that to say that instead of using ERA, to use runs allowed average, which, you know, incorporates even errors and such like that. And, you know, he makes a pretty interesting argument. It's not necessarily advanced analytics, but it's still, you know, thinking about the way in a more nuanced manner. You know, it's the pitcher's job to not allow runs. Maybe that's how we should evaluate pitchers. But, I mean, like that, it still suffers from issues like defense. You know, there's a lot of other pitching stats we can go into. I don't want to be talking forever about this. But if you just want to look at one, FIP is probably a decent one, which stands for Fielding Independent Pitching, which, as the name suggests, tries to remove defensive effects and park effects from the pitcher's performance.
Yeah, that's interesting. FIP is interesting. So I'm looking right now at the Padres pitching stats leader. Kirby Yates leads with a 3.0 WAR. Eric Lauer has a higher WAR than Chris Paddock and Cal Quantrill, which is something that jumped out at me almost immediately. What's XFIP? There's FIP and XFIP. This is what makes me insane.
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
definitely pile on.
Yeah, this was the introductory level class. When we get to the upper division,
yeah, we need because we need to keep doing this every
ballpark
week.
Ballpark adjusted and things like that. We can get into the X FIPs and everything else. But let's leave it at that before we like complicate the issue too much and just thank Chad for joining us and giving us a little primer. I
want to do this again. I want to you know break down a certain Padre that may have looked like he had a great week, but really had a bad week. I want to do this every week if we can, man. If there's something interesting, you let me know and we'll set it up.
Yeah, sounds great to me.
Awesome.
And before I go, I do want to offer a public apology to Ben for lashing out at him on Twitter the other day. You know, it was uncalled for. It was maybe a little called for.
Yeah,
but it was rude, and it was just an emotional time. So
water
I'm very
under
sorry.
The bridge. Water under the bridge.
Very
thank
forgiving.
You, thank you, Chad.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Chad. That was
it.
Awesome.
Chad Hamner from Gwintelligence.
I love that
on our SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU has low auto loan rates as low as 3.15% APR, and low rates means low payments. Apply today at SDCCU.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.